Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Kings aren't supposed to run, they stride. Kings don't just throw anything on, they are robed. And kings don't just grab a bite to eat, they dine. Kings are expected to be men of dignity and decorum, of regal behavior and composure, and therefore, kings are not supposed to leap. But in our Old Testament reading, a king engages in some not-so-regal behavior. King David is leaping and dancing. He is leaping and dancing because he is so overjoyed. One of his wives thinks that this is repulsively undignified, vulgar. Others may also have been shocked at King David's behavior, but he did not care. He is overjoyed that the Ark of the Covenant is back in Jerusalem. You have heard how the Ark of the Covenant was that place set apart for God's presence on earth, a special gold-covered box on top of which sat the mercy seat, where the cherubim's wings touched each other from each end. David had attempted to bring the Ark to Jerusalem 3 months prior to this. But when Uzzah was struck down for touching the ark, David was afraid and left the ark with a man named Obed-Edom. Now, however, having heard that Obed-Edom had been blessed by God because of the ark and his presence in it, David is again willing to try to bring it back to Jerusalem. As part of the procession, David changed into a priestly garment. He sacrificed before the ark and entered into Jerusalem, dancing and leaping for joy before God's very presence. David's wife may not have found this behavior very fitting for a king, but God did. In fact, God struck David's wife with barrenness for the rest of her life precisely because of how she scorned David's joy before the Lord that day. Rejoice is the word that echoes through the church this week. This is the week that we light the rose-colored candle on the Advent wreath. This is the week that we hear Paul's words, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." What is the reason for this perpetual rejoicing? "The Lord is at hand," said Paul. That truly is a cause for our rejoicing. We do not have to go up to heaven to search for the Lord and bring him down to us. No, the Lord comes to us. The Lord comes near. And that news, that good news, should make our hearts leap for joy. But often we do not rejoice. Often our hearts are numb or cold to Jesus' call and his presence among us. Often we are no King David. And because of that, we often hear the verb during Advent, "Stir up." We pray that God would stir up our hearts because they do not respond rightly to his coming. Instead of exploding in joy, our hearts are heavy with longings and desires that have nothing to do with the Lord. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, for our hearts are heavy with discontent. We have sunk the roots of our lives into the bitter waters of jealousy, and we have borne rotten fruit. We rejoice in things like retirement or sports games or items on a bucket list, but the drawing near of the Lord, well, maybe we'll have more time next year. Our lips may acknowledge him, but our hearts are often far from him. And unlike King David, we care far more for how we appear to others than how we appear to God. But God knows this about us, and yet he still desires to be with us. He is still interested in us. In fact, he is so interested in us that he desires to draw near to a whole world of people with sin-heavy hearts in order to give us all every reason to rejoice. The unborn John the Baptist understood the joy that the Lord Almighty gives by sending Jesus into our flesh to dwell among us. When pregnant Mary visited pregnant Elizabeth, the unborn John leapt upon hearing the voice of the woman carrying the world's Savior. Something even more wonderful than the Ark of the Covenant had come. How much more reason, then, for John to leap and dance like David? Mary carried in her womb none other than God's presence in human flesh, Jesus Christ. God was drawing near not just to Jerusalem, but to the whole world as one of the world forever. He was like us in every way, and yet he was unlike us in that he was divine and without sin. His holy, sinless presence in Mary's womb made her something special. It made her the new and better bearer of God's presence. She was God's new Ark of the Covenant, so to speak, and she bore the new and greater mercy seat, the Christ, inside of her. And though we turn away from God, he still turns toward us in Jesus' incarnation. He became incarnate so that he could be stripped and humiliated for our offenses, to die on a cross to atone for our indifference toward him. And though it may not look like it at first glance, the most joyous sight that we could ever see is the promised Son of David drawing near to Jerusalem to die for us. His joy in doing his Father's will was like that of King David's joy. But our Lord's joy in willingly going to the cross meant our acquittal and our resurrection to eternal life with him. The child who came forth from Mary's womb would also come forth one day from his tomb in triumph over sin and death to reign on the throne of his father David forever. And soon the well-known Christmas hymn will ask the question in our churches, what child is this? The answer is enough to make our hearts leap like the unborn John the Baptist. What child is this? It is the same God who drew near to King David to make him dance and leap. It is the same God who drew near to John the Baptist and made him leap. It is the child, the joy bringer, joy in the flesh, the sinner's delight. He is pure cheer for the heavy-hearted. He is the one whose second coming we long and eagerly anticipate. And until then, we rejoice that he still draws near. For in his word and in his sacraments, he comes so near that the forgiveness that he gives through them goes right into our hearts to stir them up, to revive them and refresh them. He comes so near that the word that made John leap takes residence in our own hearts. And you can't help but leap with gladness overflowing in love for others. He comes so near that his Holy Spirit fills your body and your heart to make you a new creation. He will one day draw near from his eternal throne one last time, and we will be near to him in the flesh forever. Rejoice, therefore. Rejoice like David and John the Baptist who went before you. The Lord is at hand. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.